game. Man, I think Chip played a joke on me and changed my intro around. It's, you know, when your show kicks off, it automatically plays your intro. So I don't know exactly what happened, but, you know, it's not Thursday or anything like that. And that's right. Okay, well, I'm not going to put you through all that. But anyway, welcome to... a Bad Bat Cast Live right here on the Kayak Fishing Radio Network. I am your host, Rob DeVore, otherwise known as a Bad Bat Cast. And for the next hour or so, you get to listen to me and hopefully some other people calling in and all of that fun stuff. And you can listen to all of my nonsense about kayak fishing. So if you want to keep tabs on me and what I do, my website is located at badbatcast.com, and check in there, have fun with it, read some articles, check out some links, and you can also keep track of me at the always popular yakangler.com, and that's a great site for anybody into kayak fishing. It's a great resource. So I want to remind everybody about the Kayak Angler's Choice Awards, the first annual, and I guess Chip's been talking about a lot what he's got going on there with that, some of the people and things that are getting nominated. So keep I don't know if we've ended the nominating period yet, but be sure to check into it and get in there and nominate if you still can. So, in that, you can find that link at, there's a link for it on my blog, abadbatcast.com, or on yakangler.com, or on our website, Kayak Fishing Radio. So just type in Kayak Fishing Radio and get in there and check it out. Have fun. Oh, man, we got a chat room full of people and nobody on the phone. Can't be, because I'm not giving away anything tonight, is it? Anyway, welcome to the show. I hope you guys have had a good week kayak fishing so far, and we're going to talk about that a little bit. Looks like we got Brett Allen, the Fishing Chef, Hammerhead is in the chat room, Mark Lozier, the Beer Hunter, LGB, and Scuba Stan. So we got a house full in the chat room. If you want to jump in on that chat, go to kayakfishingradio.com and go ahead and log in. Looks like I got from New Hampshire, Greg Crisp. How are you, sir?
Pretty good. How you doing?
I'm doing good, but I can't be doing as bad as you, man. After 10 days worth of kayak fishing on Lake George, and you had to go back to work today, man.
Yeah, I went back to work yesterday, actually,
yeah.
But,
oh, yeah. Well, yeah, you know, today, yesterday, same thing, man.
It all blends together when you're working.
I know. That's right, man, the kids love that. So, so how was it, man? Tell me about your trip. It looks like you had a had room on there for a couple of more kayaks on your truck, man.
I'm pretty
sure my Stealth would have fit on there, man.
Yeah, I can get a bunch of kayaks on that rack I built, so I'm hoping to, trying to get some guys together that we can do a river trip, and pretty sure we can get six on there.
Wow, that's pretty awesome. So how was the fishing, man?
Fishing was great. You know, it's a lake I grew up on. I've been fishing that lake since I was about 7 years old, I guess, was the first vacation we took there. So, and quite frankly, the fishing's probably better than it's ever been. So it's good to see that the lake's healthy, quite a bit warmer than it normally is. When I was a kid growing up, you know, we would normally be seeing 70-degree water temperatures around August, the first week in August, and the surface temperature and the water temperature first week of July was 74. So
wow.
The bath are absolutely loving warm water temperatures. And, you know, so it's good for them. The lake trout and the cold water fish are way, way, way down deep. Last year they were like 90 feet deep. This year, the one that I hooked and hooked briefly was somewhere between 130 and 140 feet deep.
Wow.
And
you got enough. Go ahead.
And I just didn't have the right equipment to get that deep.
Yeah, I guess you need to use some pretty heavy weights or what?
Yeah, and I came prepared to go down to about 100 feet with a, you know, up to a 1-1.25 ounce jig.
Yeah.
You know, needed more like a 2 ounce jig to be able to get down there effectively.
Wow. Man, you know, I mean, that reminds me of when I used to do a lot of bridge fishing around here, around John's Pass and some places like that. The current would be whipping through there so hard. And it's a pretty deep pass, you know, it's 20, 30 feet. And I'm not kidding you, man, the current would be moving 6 ounces of weight, you know.
Yeah.
So I totally understand what you're talking about. Now, you know, of course, you don't need, 6 ounces to get down. Now, is there any current in there or no? It's just late.
No, it's just dealing with wind and that sort of stuff. So, but still, it's just, you know, being able to drop accurately down to fish that deep, because they were hanging real tight to ledges. The area I was fishing drops off from about 50 feet down to about 180 within 100 yards.
Wow. And they were
so
you had to
be pretty accurate with it.
They were all showing up on your bottom machine?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, that's cool, man.
Good marks, and you know, when I did get it down there, I was able to hook up on one, but didn't get them to the surface.
Now, what was down there? Big lake trout or something?
Yeah, lake trout.
Nice.
You know, generally, I would say the average is somewhere between 26 and 30 inch lake trout up there.
Good deal.
So.
Well, so anyway, so that's cool, man. And you've been going to that place, that same place for like 25 years now, every summer?
Yeah.
That's
awesome. Pretty much every summer. There were a few I missed from time to time when I was younger and out running around doing other things. But, you know, I've had my kids there pretty much every summer the last 10 years. And, you know, growing up into my 20s, I was there. And actually used to live there as well, so full-time for about 3 years.
That's awesome.
Yep. So,
well,
but,
we're, let me, you know, tonight, the theme of tonight's show, and hopefully Chuck calls in and everything, because I want to get a couple of good, some ideas here. But what we're going to talk about tonight is, I'm going to tell you my story about my weekend and stuff, but the theme for tonight is, what do we do to get ready for a kayak fishing trip? You know, do you get ready the night before, or in your case, Greg, the week before?
Yeah.
you know, do you scurry around the morning of, or what? Because I don't know about you guys, but summertime fishing for me in the kayak is ugly early, okay? I mean, you got to be out to your spot by the time the sky starts getting light. So I don't like getting up early, man. I suck at it. But I make it easy on myself by getting all my stuff ready the night before. So there's very little thought involved before the coffee gets circulating. And I don't, you know, do something like walk off with a, you know, without my paddle or something. So we're going to get into that tonight. Let's see, what else? Oh, we're going to talk about PFDs tonight, too. I just picked up a new Stolquist PFD from Austin Kayaks. So we'll talk about that as well. And why you use what you use and why you like it. So anyway, let's see. So I'll tell you a little bit about my weekend. I was it was an ugly early fishing trip over the weekend. And we've been getting a lot of rain, man. So anyway, we were in the water at about 5:45. And a good incoming tide. High tide, I believe, was about 8 or 8:30. And there was a nice flat that I wanted to fish. And we get out there, and there was, like, so much floating grass around. It wasn't even funny. I mean, it was even worse than the weekend before. So we get out there, and, you know, automatically top water is out of the question because you're, like, you know, every time you toss it, you're just coming back with a, you know, just about a 2-pound mass of salad. So top water was out. So I was using a DOA curly tail jig with a 1/16-ounce jig head. We were on about a 2-foot grass flat and caught a couple of trout, nothing major. And there was a sandbar that we had never been to before. And on one side of the sandbar, it's very, you know, flat and kind of oystery and, you know, patchy grass and stuff. And on the other side, it drops off to about 6-8 feet. So I was like, man, I don't even know if we can find this thing. It's out in the middle of the intercoastal, you know. So I had a pretty good idea where it was. But, you know, there at the distance, you saw it, and it was, like, stacked with pelicans, man. There's one of the best ways to find sandbars out in the middle of nowhere. Look for the birds, man, because 9 times out of 10, there'll be birds parked on it. So once we found that, we were fishing, and my buddy Keith got a nice 15-inch flounder, you know, pretty quickly. And I thought, well, you know, might be a couple of more around. No dice, man. So that was like, that was it as far as fish goes all weekend, you know, that the day for the day. Not very dramatic. Water was kind of murky closer to shore because of all the rain. And I don't know. It was just kind of strange, you know. We found bait, a lot of bait fish around. There just wasn't any fish there, I'm guessing, man. I just can't understand why. So the schools of finger mullet were there. So, you know, we were just kind of paddling and looking for fish and looking for signs of fish and everything and fishing. And all of a sudden next to me, you know, out of the, you know, Keith is about 15-20-30 feet away from me, and I'm fishing, and out of the corner of my eye, about 3 o'clock, I see something come up, and I was like, what the heck is that? You know, like, run into dolphins and manatee and all sorts of stuff like that. You know, it's not uncommon to see them. And it was about an 80-pound tarpon rolling right there about 10 feet away from my kayak, and I was just like, holy crap. I got the rod in my hand, I got a Miradine on it, you know, and I hollered over to Keith. I'm like, hey, Keith, check this out. Look at this. Am I seeing stuff or what? You know, is this a tarpon rolling right? We're on a 3-foot grass flat, you know, in the intercoastal. It's something that I wasn't ready for, you know. It would have, you know, I'm not geared up for that, you know, just fishing flats. You know, I got a medium action, you know, 2 medium action 7-foot rods and about 200 yards of, you know, 20-pound power pro on each, you know. So I seriously doubt I got enough oomph, enough gunnage there, caliber, if you will, to you know, to play around with one of those, because it'll just, you know, tie your rod up into a pretzel and hand it back to you and say, you know, thanks for coming. So anyway, I hollered over to Keith and I was like, hey man, you know, check that out. And Tarpon didn't even know I was there. I mean, he was completely oblivious. And when I shouted like that, he bolted, gave me a nice tail splash as he went the opposite way. I mean, that's how close it was. I really couldn't believe it, you know, that it just porpoised right there next to the kayak like that, about 10 feet away. So I was pretty juiced up after that, man. Now, I have seen tarpon in that area before, usually around fall. In the, you know, in the autumn, it's not uncommon to see them in that area because it's pretty close to an inlet. So, I was definitely pretty jacked up after that. So that was my fishing trip over the weekend. And, hey, man, look at this. There's live from Atlanta, Georgia. There's Chip Gibson. Playing the Afro-Cuban jazz there. How are you doing, Chip?
I'm like, I'm good, man, but I'm dancing without moving my feet, man. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, good, man. You probably, yeah. You know, you're probably sitting in Studio A at Kayak Fishing Radio headquarters there with a Sweetwater.
Here in downtown Atlanta. Yes, sir.
Oh, really? You're in downtown Atlanta right now? Nice.
No.
good deal, man. So, how are you, Chip? Hey, I'm sorry I missed your show the other night, and I haven't, dude. For some reason, like, sleep has just, I'm like addicted to sleep lately, and I've been going to bed at like 8 o'clock lately. As evidenced last week when you had to call me and say, "Hey, dude, wake up! It's time to do your show." at 8:02. So how you doing, man? What happened last week? You guys were saying something about spammers or something. So is this something you can talk about or what?
We'll talk about it later. I don't want to give them the,
okay.
I'm not like the regular media and want to support that kind of activity. So yeah,
awesome.
It's been taken care of. We'll talk later, but yeah, it's
okay.
Cool. I was sitting here stoked waiting for the All-Star game to come on, and I looked up and I go, oh man, 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
Rob's on.
Yeah, well,
so,
you know, you just
then,
go ahead.
And we should be, and we're, it's like kids in at Christmas waiting to hear the word from our man with the plan in downtown Las Vegas later.
That's
on
right.
Tonight as we hear what some of the cool things are that are coming out from ICAST this year.
That's great. That's right, Chip. I forgot to mention in my monologue, my opening blurb there, Isaac the Nothing Miller will be broadcasting live from Ground Zero at ICAST in Las Vegas. And we're thinking that the always popular and always feared Adam Hayes from YakAngler.com is going to be with him in pocket. And hopefully they will, you know, tell us about all of this new gear. I guess this year is the first year that Malibu has been at ICAST. And there was somebody else that I remember Isaac talking about the other day in his email. Do you remember who it was? Maybe it was, he said Freedom Hawk was going to be there. There was somebody else.
Freedom
too,
Hawk's
going to
be there, from what I heard.
It was
and
their first
from what
time.
What I
there.
Also heard.
Uh huh.
What I also heard is that there may be a new Hobie being introduced.
Yeah, I heard that there might be.
All right.
I heard that they might have three Hobies coming out.
This one's going to be a. The latest one that they're coming out with is going to be a. The last one was a battleship. This one's going to be an aircraft carrier. So it's going to be, you know, slightly bigger. And
I think Malibu is going to come out with an 84 inch wide.
Yeah.
It's going to have a tennis court.
And it's you can put three yak anglers at a time in it. It's going to have three sets of pedals.
Right.
And I tell you what, man. I know it's grandiose and it's giant, but that Hobie Pro Angler is one really nice kayak, man. I know it's not perfect for every situation, but I don't know what else you would need, like, you know, to go fishing offshore or something in that. You just, you know, point yourself towards the horizon and say, hey, I'll see you in a couple of days and go have fun, you know. That's pretty, those things are really nice, man.
I'm waiting for somebody to do a transatlantic in a Hobie Pro Angler.
You probably could. I mean, that's not something to laugh at. I mean, I seriously, looking at the thing, I mean, you know, of course, I've never taken one out or anything, but I'm telling you, that's a very nice nice kayak, man.
Yeah, the guys out here, the guys with the pro anglers, you know, regularly go out in 15 plus knot winds, and they're able to deal with them up here.
Yeah.
You know, even the guys in the Revos, you know, they normally call it quits, you know, around that point. But those pro anglers are so big and stable, they're able to get out and fish. You know, at times other guys can't just because of the wind.
Well, I think everybody up in your neck of the woods there, Greg, if you got a Ka, you got a Hobie Pro Angler or a Revo or an Outback.
Yep.
So I think that's like a commonplace thing up there, man. You guys, like, I think if you buy a new Ka up there, they give you one of those, you know, like as a, you know, you buy your car today, we'll give you the Hobie Pro Angler to go with it or something. So I was really surprised at the Jamaica Bay tournament up there. How many people were really, you know, I mean, everybody you and D. Kelly talked to up there had a Hobie up there, man. So I think that's something that's required up there or something, because it seemed like everybody had them up there at Jamaica Bay there. So that's pretty awesome. And they make a really nice kayak, man.
Yeah. So, and the big thing is you know, the fishing that we do up here, you know, there's a lot of wind. You know, a calm day around here is like 5 to 8 knots is what we consider calm when we go out in the ocean. And, you know, plus stripers like current. They like moving water. And the guys with the Hobies can sit there and sit in one spot just pedaling away. And, you know, make casts and catch fish, where if I'm going to go out and fish that spot, I have to paddle up current, get in position, get ready, drift through the current, get 2, 3, you know, maybe even 4 casts, and then paddle back up current.
Yeah, so. Hey, I know exactly what you mean, man, and that's not taking anything away from my my Malibu, man. I love that thing. But you're right, man. You know, for a situation like that, you know, something with that you can hang in the current with a little bit better without having to, you know, paddle and go backwards, you know, or stop paddling and go backwards just to cast, you know, it really comes in handy, you know, so, check into it. I'm excited to see what they got though. So, Isaac's coming up at 10 right here on the, Kayak Fishing Radio Network. So we're going to go ahead and listen to him. I think me and Chip are going to be probably running his board for him a little bit, or me or him or somebody. Man, what is with the chat room tonight? I look on there, this one comes in, logs in, logs out, logs in, logs out, logs in, logs out. So I'm not entirely positive. You know, if you guys are having trouble with the chat room, you know, make sure you mention something, and we'll get our IT wizard, the Yak Sushi. That's right. And he'll be he'll knock it out for us, man. So anyway, the subject for tonight's show, and I'm going to talk about this for a second. I just ordered a new PFD from Austin Kayaks, man. I got a Stolquist fishing PFD, man. And I'm excited about it because, you know, it's something that you need to have. It's required by law in most states to at least have it on board. I don't know, Greg, do you guys are you guys required to wear it, or do you just have to have it on board up there in New Hampshire?
No, most of the states up here, they're just required to have one on board.
Okay.
So, I don't think in Massachusetts, I believe certain months you have to mandatorily you have to wear it. It's mandatory. But
cool.
Only in the cold weather months.
Okay. Well, you know, it's something that I would suggest that everybody wear all the time. I think it's a good practice to do. And so anyway, I got a pretty nice deal on a Stolquist, so I'll let you know how it does. I really like it. I'm just not sure about the color. So we'll see how that performs, and I'm sure I'll write a review about it or something. But so I'm sorry, and I know everybody's probably upset about that. Right, kids? I mean, you're upset about this fact, right? Yeah. I know, me too. But everybody, you guys are going to have to pray for sharks now, because once I get this Stolquist, drowning is out of the question, man. So at least I'm hoping. So pray for sharks, and you won't have to listen to me no mo on Tuesday nights. So, Greg, what kind of PFD do you use, man?
I have one of the NRS Chinooks.
Yeah, I looked at those. How do you like
it? Yeah, and I like it. It was the most comfortable one for me. I actually think I physically, just looking at, I think it was the Stolquist one. I liked the look. I liked the accessories on it. It just wasn't comfortable.
Cool.
And that's the biggest thing. I spent, you know, 2 hours one day in a shop trying on about 30 PFDs to find one that was comfortable so I could wear it all the time and didn't want to take it off.
Now, are the pockets waterproof on it?
No, they aren't.
You can connect just about everything under the sun on that thing too, can't you?
Yeah, there's plenty of pockets. You can stuff a whole lot in it. The only thing that it really doesn't have a good pocket for is my VHF radio. There's no real good place to store it on that vest. But everything else, it's got you covered.
Yeah. Well, that's one thing I liked about the Stolquist, is that it had a lot of pockets in it. Now, I don't really see myself putting anything in them, because anything I carry with me, outside of a couple of jigs or something, you know, couple of bags of soft plastics or something like that, everything else is going in my waterproof box. But I like the fact that it has the, you know, the high back on it, you know, the floaty is on the, you know, high on the back, so it doesn't get in your way fishing. So that's really cool. Hey, Chip, man, which Stolquist do you use? I know that you use that, or is that an Eversport?
No, I've got the Angler.
Yeah, and
I love it. Yeah,
I think didn't I try yours on, or was it the Landing Crew or something there at one of the Boondoggers?
You tried it on. You tried it on. It's got the high back, the mesh, and everything. It's nice.
Yeah, it seemed really comfortable. I mean, it doesn't seem like, you know, because the one I have, I think, is more geared for jet skiing than kayak fishing. So, you know, it's just something to keep me out of jail, so to speak. So it's my get out of jail free card. No, I think it's something that we need to have, and it's something that you're definitely required to have by law in Florida on your boat, and it's a good idea to wear it, man. So make sure you wear your PFDs, and if you're looking for one, check out Austin Canoe and Kayak, because I got a pretty good deal there on a pretty nice piece of gear. So I'm excited about it, man. And, yeah, I got the yellow color because it'll match my my Easter egg green Columbia shirt and my lime green kayak and my green bin. So everything will be, you know, color coordinated. Right? I mean, that's not an accident. Everybody was making fun of my giving me grief about my picture that I posted there with me and my green Columbia shirt and my green kayak and everything. So I you know, that way it'll tie it all together, man, my yellow PFD. So if I don't look like a Sprite commercial, nothing will. So anyway,
You're the lineman.
The lineman, there we go, man. The lineman amphibious assault vehicle. anyway, so what we'll do is, let me see, the other thing I wanted to talk about tonight was, what do you do to get ready when you're getting ready to go kayak fishing? You're going kayak fishing tomorrow. What are you doing to get ready, man? And I'll tell you what I do real quick is I get it all ready the night before because I don't want to mess around with it at 4:30 in the morning when I'm getting up and I'm like, man, who in their right mind is up at this hour? What I do is I get my drinks together and I usually freeze my drinks. Who's coming in as unknown on the queue? Let's see. We'll find out in a minute. But anyway, I get my drinks together and I put them in the freezer. I use 32-ounce Nalgene bottles, usually one Gatorade and two waters, two bottles of water, and I stick them in there, freeze them. I don't like to carry a cooler with me or anything like that. So I throw those in the morning. I put an empty Nalgene on my – I use one of those big green Tupperware bins, you know, with the lid on it, and I put my PFDs in there, my seat, my tackle box, my, if I'm eating something the next day, you know, anything like that, I put in there. Hello? Did I drop?
No,
somebody
you're
say
there,
something.
Rob.
No, you're okay. Still there.
Okay, sorry. And, I hit something. The unknown caller dropped, and when I X'd it, you know, it dropped. Had a little drop down that said that on my screen, and when I clicked off of it, when I X'd off of it, it beeped and couldn't hear anything. So, anyway, I throw my trail mix and all of that stuff in my green Tupperware box. You know, my anchor, got all of the stuff that you have, you know, all over the place or in various bags and stuff like that. So I stick that in there and, you know, I stick all that stuff in there and get it ready. I put an empty Nalgene bottle on top of my box. So what I do is when I see that, I go, oh, yeah, I can't forget my drinks. And I go to the freezer and I get them out and I throw them in the inside the box and we're good to go. Hello? Anyway, and I put my rods and my reels and everything else on the I put all that stuff on the next door. And that basically I don't forget anything doing that. So that's my tactic for getting everything ready. And I roll out of bed, I get dressed, I put my fishing clothes on, brush my teeth, take the dog out. Turn on the coffee pot, I'm good to go, man. And it leaves me little to worry about. All I got to worry about is getting my gear downstairs and going. So that's my tactic for getting ready, and I very rarely forget something doing that. You know. Also, the night before, I change out all my leaders every trip. I want to make sure that I have nice, fresh leaders so that I don't have to worry about losing fish because the leader was dinged from last week, something like that. You know, last fishing trip, your leader got beat up, and you can lose fish real easy if you don't change out your leaders. So I do that, make sure that my rods and reels are in good working order so I don't get out there and, oh, no, something doesn't work. Because I want to know about it before I go rather than when I get there. So those are my tactics, man. What about you guys? we'll start with, oh, look, there's Chuck, man. Chuck's here. We'll get to him in a second. There he is, man. Thank you, Chip. Mr. Levi.
What's going on?
How you doing, man?
Good, good. Soaking wet. I just got back from SeaWorld.
Okay. Well, we'll get your story in a second. But what I'm going to do is go down the line, and we're talking about what we do to get ready, Chuck, just so that you're ready when I get to you, okay? Chip, man, what do you do to get ready? Do you wait till the night before, or do you scurry around the morning of?
You have to remember, I have a 12-year-old, almost 13-year-old clone that I have to it's like herding cats. So I tried to get the boats. That was the whole reason for designing the kayak assault trailer, was that I wouldn't have to do a whole lot as far as gear was concerned. I can put it on the trailer. So I back the super Jeep out of the garage, hook up the trailer, and then all I have to do is herd the clone into the Jeep so that we can go. But for me, it's all about my trailer, because it has the kayaks on it. It has the rod tubes that, you know, on one side the rods go in, on the other side the stakeout poles go in, and the Vizicarbon poles go in. Then there's the big Rubbermaid action packer that has the boxes and the crates in it. And so that's all packed up the night before. So all I got to do is back out, hook it up to the Jeep, drive away.
Good deal. And you do that, all that stuff's attached to your trailer, right? So you just make sure everything's in there and you're good, right?
That's it. That's where I try to keep it.
Man, it makes it so much easier. I can remember, you know, running down to my car with like armloads of gear, you know, my anchor and, you know, tackle bag and fishing poles and all that stuff, man. And it's just so much easier to throw it in one container and drag it down the stairs, man. No, not drag it, but carry it, you know. And it just, to me, that's a lot easier. Now, the clone, I don't know, man. What do you do to get him ready at 4 o'clock in the morning?
Not much. I mean, it was just kind of like, you know, that's why it was so easy getting you and Mark and the clone in the Jeep at 3 a.m. to go down to the to the goon, because I had practiced it before. Just kind of steer everybody to the right direction, get them in the Jeep, make sure that because we did that, right? We put all the gear on the trailer the night before.
Yeah.
So all we had to do was get in the Jeep and drive away.
That's right, man. That's the best way to do it. And so, Greg, Chris, man, when you're going, you got like a 2-hour drive ahead of you when you go fishing. What do you do to get ready the night before?
A lot of times when I'm driving to the ocean to fish the salt, I'm looking to launch at like 1 a.m., so I'm actually leaving at 10 o'clock at night, or 11 o'clock sometime around then. But, you know, basically the same thing. I prep the night before. If I'm going out for Friday night, Saturday morning, I'll probably start my prep on Thursday night after the radio show, make sure all my rods, press leaders, get, you know, whatever rigs that I'm planning on fishing right off the bat tied on, you know, get all that set up. I too have a big Rubbermaid tote that actually I have several of them, I'm sorry to say, that I keep with all my stuff. I have one for salt water, one for fresh water, because my salt water gear is substantially different than my fresh water gear.
We know how you bass fishermen are, and you got to take if it doesn't look like a miniature version of Bass Pro Shops in the back of your truck, then you're not fishing.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, when I, you know, last week I was doing freshwater fishing, and yeah, I had at all times, I had four rods on my kayak, And they were rigged, all four rods were rigged differently. I had one rigged for deep jigging, one rigged for, you know, jigging in, you know, 20 to 30 feet of water, a lipless crankbait that I could get down to, you know, 10, 15 feet. And then one was set up with an X-wrap to fit fish just under the surface.
Good deal.
You know, so unless I wanted to change colors or lures, I don't have to tie something new on. I just swap out a rod, you know, if I think the fish are somewhere else and I want to try it.
Yeah, and, you know, that's the nice thing about, you know, taking that many rigs with you, you know, because sometimes you always got to make sure that you, you know, it sucks having to retie, you know, every so often, you know, if you think that the color's not working or if you're trying to match the hatch or something like that. But it does make it nice. But I just, for the sake of simplicity, I only take two rods with me most of the time and maybe a fly rod.
Yeah, and that's more of my saltwater setup. I have, you know, one rod that I fish primarily. I'm probably using that 90% of the time. Then I have another rod set up, and most of that's probably trolling tubes or trolling eels around. Then I have another rod that I use for casting either soft plastics or plugs or jigs. And then I have another rod that a lot of times doesn't come out of my truck because I don't fish with live bait that much. But it's a softer tip for live lining or fishing that. But like I said, most times that doesn't leave my truck unless, you know, I know I'm going to try to snag some pogies or something like that to try to live line.
Good deal. Now, Chuck, I know that you're soaking wet there, and you just got back from SeaWorld, and you were hoping that the rain was going to hold off. And let me ask you this, Chuck. Was it worth it?
It's always worth it. Dude, you gotta understand, when you put a two-year-old through a tube that is surrounded by sharks and redfish, and you're expecting him to freak out, and all you hear him say is, "Wow!" Like, that's the greatest thing in the entire world. I mean,
awesome.
We could have left. We could have just went through the stupid shark exhibit and left, and I'd have had a great day. But, yeah, no, it was fun. Rain came and kind of washed us out of the park a little earlier than we had expected, but it was fun.
Awesome. What do you do to get ready the night before a kayak fishing trip? Or do you run around in the morning going,
Yeah, I usually intend on getting things done the night before, but it turns out to be a first thing in the morning, frantic, run around like a chicken with my head cut off deal. I do the kind of the same thing as you. I check over the reels and stuff, make sure they're in good shape. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you.
Oh, okay. I check over the reels, make sure they're in good shape. Check all the eyelets on my rods, make sure there's no chips or anything like that. Retie all my leaders like you do, because I just don't trust stuff that's been sitting around. Make sure I have my one single little tackle bag that I take with me. And that's pretty much it, man. I mean, I take three rods, but that's unusual circumstances. Usually, if I'm on fish real thick, I'll take three. I'll take the fly rod. I'll take my normal, 6 to 12 pound test kind of setup, and then I'll also take an ultralight with like 4 pound mono on it, just in case, you know. You run into a big school of fish. Sometimes it's fun to catch them on that light stuff. But, you know, I have a small Shimano tackle bag that's got, I think, three trays in it. One tray's got jig heads and worm hooks and circle hooks, and the other one's got paddle tails, and the last one has top waters and midwater type stuff. So I'm pretty easy, man. I don't take too much stuff with me. But, you know, I'm definitely a stickler when it comes to my gear. I don't play around. I don't hose it off with a garden hose, and I get home and put it back in the garage. I take all my reels apart almost every trip, and I take Lemon Pledge or some sort of a cleaning product to all my guides to make sure I get all that salt out of all the rings and stuff. Hit them with a Q-tip, so make sure there's no residual salt left over to pop guides out, and that's pretty much it.
Good deal, man. I mean, you got to get it together the night before, man, because it's just it's a drag trying to get all your stuff. I mean, for me anyway, I don't know about anybody else, but man, I can't. It sucks trying to remember everything in the morning, so I try to make it idiot-proof. And all I got to do is pick up one green box and a couple of fishing rods and a paddle, man, and I'm ready to go. All right, we got this is a special announcement from Kayak Fishing Radio. All right, man, we got a... Mark Lozier has just announced in the chat room that he is going to donate a MarshWorks Inshore package for one lucky winner tonight. If you're not sure about MarshWorks, check them out. MarshWorks.com. There's that marsh-works.com, Mark. Not positive about that, but they are... they make fishing stuff, man, fishing gear, lures, things like that. So check them out. And at the end of the show, we'll figure out a way to get that to one lucky winner tonight. So what were you going to say, Chuck?
No, I said sweet. I'm looking at his stuff right now on his webpage. I like it.
Yeah, is it marsh-works.com?
Yeah, that Bayou Thumper looks like. That's right up my alley right there.
Yeah, soft plastics and stuff. I would go look at it, but I can't because my computer only does like one thing. Does like one thing at a time, man. That's okay.
They got popping corks. They got like Cajun style popping corks, jig heads. It looks like some Redfish Magic type spinnerbait deals, buzz baits.
Cool.
Yeah, cool. Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Very nice, man. Well, thank you, Mark. And, We'll have to get you on the show one night, man, talk about some of that stuff and fishing in your area and everything. Also, I got a guest coming up in the next couple of weeks. Problem is, when I cleaned out the inbox on my iPhone, I deleted her number. Oh, man, so I was hoping to get that nailed down for next week, but that doesn't look like it's going to happen, at least I can't announce anything right now without talking more to the person, my special guest. So anyway, stay tuned. Tonight, 10 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Pacific, Isaac the Nothing Miller is going to be doing one of these from... that's right, he's going to be doing that from iCast all night, telling us all the cool gear that we're missing out on seeing now. I was supposed to go to iCast, and I was making my plans, and my car decided in November that it wasn't going to be car no mo, like Redfish Chuck's appendix there. And so that kind of killed my iCast plans. I was really looking forward to it, but next year we're going to have iCast right here in Orlando, so it's only an hour away. It's only an hour away instead of, instead of a 5-hour plane ride. So I'm really excited about that, man. And Chuck, you've been to iCast before. Now, should I bring my 5,000 cubic inch backpack just to make sure that I can? Carry all the gear that the free stuff that you get there, or what?
No, I don't think that's really necessary. They usually give you a bag when you walk in, and when I was there for 3 days when it was in Orlando a couple years back, and I did pretty well in mopping up some free stuff. But I would, you know what I would do if I were you? I'd work at the show angle, and I'd probably bring a tape recorder of some kind and do like a interviews with some of these manufacturer owners and VPs and stuff.
Absolutely, that was in the works for this year, and sadly, I'm not going to make it. So we were going to.
Well,
it was going to be like Team Kayak Fishing Radio just fan out all over the place, and we were figuring we could get probably a month's worth of sound bites just doing that, you know, if everybody had recorders and everything. So unfortunately, it just didn't work out that way, man. So, but
well,
I've always wanted
year,
to go.
Dude.
I've always wanted to go, man, and I'm really looking forward to it. And I'm thinking, I'm going to stick with you next year, man, because you've been there a couple of times.
Yeah.
So you can kind of show me the ropes that I cast.
Out.
And camp out? What do you mean?
Yeah, next I'm going to be like a 12-year-old kid waiting for the new Xbox to come out on Christmas Eve. I'm going to be camped outside that place waiting. No, not really. But I'll be there. I'll probably be there all 3 days. I think it's 3 days long, three or four. I plan on spending every day there that I can. It's a lot of fun, man, and I know a lot of people that will be there. I've got a pretty good relationship with a lot of the major manufacturer reps that we'll see at Orlando that didn't make it out to Vegas. So that makes it a little bit more fun, too, because you can get involved in conversation and, you know, they're a little bit more, you know, into giving you more information about the product than they would just the average guy walking by, so...
Yeah. Oh man. You know, I've seen photo spreads and some of the fishing magazines do all of their iCast special. You know, see it here first. Blah blah blah. On their websites. I love that, man. I think that's so cool because they'll just talk about all this new and innovative gear. And some of it's old stuff that kind of has a new twist or something like that, man. So I it's great, man. It's great for the sport, and it's great. You're right, man. It's kind of like when that, when that Xbox comes out or that PlayStation 3, man. You know, you camp out and can't wait, kind of like a kid at Christmas, man. You're right. So, Chip, man, anything? Did you hear any other rumors from iCast besides? Chuck, I know you missed the first part of the show, but this year is the first year Malibu is going to be there, and they're supposed to unveil some new stuff. And also, it's rumored that Hobie is going to unveil a couple of new kayaks, man. So, Chip, have you heard any other rumors?
I'm working on it right now. I just made contact on the special kayak fishing radio teletype machine. I've made contact with Isaac, and we're working on it. Let me check and see if this is him checking in. I'll get right back with you.
Okay.
That's awesome.
I think our band sounds drunk, or is it me? Maybe the record's warped or something. We got to have Chip or Yak Sushi check into the kayak fishing radio record player there, because it's like, I don't know, man. Maybe the landing crew left the window open and the sun got on the sound bites there, the albums, if you were. Because it seems like all of the sound bites sound very warped. To me. So did you notice that? Did you notice that, Chip?
No, they sound normal to me tonight.
Oh, really? Last time you were going to fire the band because they were slowing down and speeding up in the middle of a song, and we all know that that's a
right.
no-no. All right, man. Looks like we have Juan from Kayak Fish PA on the line with us. How you doing, Juan?
Good. How you doing? Can you guys hear me
good.
Okay?
Yeah, you sound great so far.
Oh, good, good. I had some technical difficulties there for a while.
Yeah,
this
so was I.
Operator.
Operator error, whatever. Hey, you know, I can tell you right now, a couple of shows ago, And for a couple of weeks on end, Skype, ever since they got bought out by Microsoft, it would just die on me in the middle of a show. So I don't know exactly why it did that. Yeah, but what I did was I got the latest version of Skype, and so far I haven't had any problems, man. Last week it didn't die on me, and I didn't have to call in from my phone to my own show. So you sound fine. So whatever you did, man, you got it sorted out, man. So how you doing, Juan? You been out fishing up there?
Yeah, I've been actually really busy. June was crazy. July is pretty good so far as the guiding goes and the fishing goes. We've been doing pretty good. I posted up some pictures on my website, kayakfishpa.com, if you guys want to check out some of the fish we've been catching. We've been having a lot of fun on the river. It's getting in the low water time now, which is one of my favorite times, because we switch over to more finesse fishing, which is what I really like to do.
Excellent. Now, for those of you who don't know, Juan does kayak fishing guide trips on the Susquehanna River up in Pennsylvania. I got that right? I mean, I used to live up there.
Yeah, Susquehanna and the Juniata River, both of those. Yeah.
There you go. And if you have any questions, man, just go to Juan's website, man, and he can get some really nice smallmouth up there, man. So give him a shout. And so let me ask you this, Juan: what kind of a PFD do you use?
Me right now, I have a Stolquist brick that I like to wear. You know, it's me really well. It's got a lot of adjustments to it. It's more like a whitewater kind of style and design,
right.
but I like it because it cinches down in so many different directions. That really stays put, and that's really what I was looking for. I don't look for a vest with pockets in it, which is great for fishing, but that's just kind of my thing. I'm looking for something that fits on me and will stay put, you know, if I go in the water. That's the most important thing to me. And everybody's shaped a little bit differently, you know, so sometimes you got to look around for that PFD that fits you.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I just picked up one of those Stolquists. From Austin Kayaks. So if anybody's interested and you need kayak fishing gear, check out Austin Canoe and Kayak, man, because I got a pretty good deal on it, and I'm excited to get it. I haven't even gotten it yet, man, but I've tried them on before, and they are definitely a nice PFD. Now I don't know if you caught our little segment there about what we do before, you know, when we get ready to go fishing. Do you get ready the night before, or do you just stumble around first thing in the morning?
Actually, I one of the reasons it was holding me up here is I was getting ready to go out tomorrow. I've got a guide trip. I've got to leave the house at 3:00 in the morning, so it's going to be an early start. And I was just getting my gear together. What I try to do is do a lot of things. Really, just make sure that I go through a checklist of things that I need the next day. I make sure that I have baits tied on that I'm going to be using. Have all my rods rigged, so I make some assumptions about the types of baits that I'm going to be fishing, just to speed things up. I'll go through my gear, make sure that I have all the baits that I need, make sure that the baits I'm probably going to use most during the day when I'm guiding, making sure that those are, you know, in a place in my crate where I can get to them very easily, and then kind of take the day from there. Just double checking gear, make sure I have all my safety equipment with me. Paddle, PFD. I mean, it's amazing what you can leave behind. And I like to pack the car the night before or the day before, because, you know, then you're going to get like an hour down the road and say, man, I don't have a paddle, you know. That's one of those things that you just can't do without, you know.
Oh, absolutely. Now, I'm telling you, man, if you make it easy on yourself, you'll never forget something. And doing
exactly.
All that stuff while you're awake, and you know, before you need coffee in your face or anything like that, man, is definitely what we need.
That's what I like.
Isaac's just posted a pic of the new 11-foot Hobie Revolution on Twitter, and he is under the Nothing on Twitter. And get your Twitter pages warmed up, boys and girls, because what you're going to need to do is is I'm going to say the word. Mark Lozier is going to provide the winner with a Marsh Works Inshore prize pack tonight. That's our new that's our prize pack for tonight. And what you want to do is send me a tweet on Twitter right now. If you're interested in that Marsh Works Inshore package, send me a tweet on Twitter. First person to get in there is we're going to say the third person. So go ahead and send me a tweet at a Bad Batcast and that you're listening to the show, or that you like listening to the show, or you hate listening to the show, or something like that. And you hope that you pray for sharks instead of drowning, since I'm getting my new PFD or something. Anyway, the third person to get in on that gets the Marsh Works package, and we'll talk to Mark about getting your address, and we'll get that shipped out to you. So here's the instructions one more time. Get on there. Log on to your Twitter page. Send me, which my Twitter handle is abadbatcast, as usual. Send me a tweet that says, I love the show, I hate the show, I hate a Bad Batcast, something about the show, Kayak Fishing Radio. And we'll get that shipped out to you, man. So I'm waiting for my phone to blow up here. So anybody?
Dude, I don't even remember what my Twitter thing is.
Yeah, you don't play around with Twitter, do you, Chuck?
I've got an account. I think I made it just to talk to my buddy Jared one time, and that was it.
Yeah. It's fun, man. It's a good way to network with people in the industry. I like it. It gets me, keeps me happy, and it gives me something to do, man. I like, talking to people, if you couldn't tell. And so who's it going to be, man? Prize pack. I was speaking of Twitter. The paddling fan from South Florida sent me the always popular link for Bill Dance. It's like a 15-minute video of Bill Dance favorite blooper reels, man. And it was like going back the whole history of Bill Dance's shows and some of his do you think that they staged some of that stuff, man? Anybody?
Yes.
You think they stage his bloopers?
Nobody's that gullible, dude. How many times do you walk into a trailer hitch?
What you got, Chip?
Paddling fan.
Yeah?
Just posted.
What's he got?
He said he posted at a Bad Batcast listening to a Kayak Fishing Radio right now.
This is true.
And then Greg Becker is listening from the road.
We're looking at for tweet number three.
Tweet number three.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hold on a second. I got the paddling fan. I've got
I counted
Greg
wrong.
Greg Becker's number two. And the hammerhead, Greg Crisp, is number three. So go ahead and email Mark Lozier, and you'll get that Marsh Works prize pack. So, Greg, hammerhead, what do you think, Greg?
I think that stuff looks cool.
Yeah?
Can't wait for the next boondoggle to try to use it.
Yeah, well, you don't need to wait for a boondoggle to use it, because we know that, fishing can be hard sometimes. But if you go ahead and use Marsh Works, it can help you put fish in the boat a whole lot easier.
Yeah, actually, last week I caught a smallmouth on a DOA shrimp in
Did
honor
really?
Of you, Rob. Yeah.
Wait a minute. What are you doing using a DOA shrimp smallmouth fishing?
It was there's in my tackle bag, so, I figure it looks a lot like a crawfish. So did the bass.
True. I guess it could pass for that. Wow. And you caught one on it. That's amazing, man.
Yep.
That's funny. Juan, would you ever do that, man?
I will use any bait that I think it catches a smallmouth, no matter how strange it might look.
Yeah, well, there is some truth to that where you can And Chuck probably knows about this more than me, but you can use you can cut a drinking straw and tie a fly with it, with just the drinking straw. Just tie a hook to a drinking straw, and toss that, and that people actually catch fish on that. So,
I
believe
it. Spanish mackerel lure, dude.
Yeah.
That's my absolute favorite Spanish mackerel lure.
Awesome. Well, I'm looking forward to hearing Isaac's updates at 10. But we're at the end of our hour, so we're going to go around our go up and down our list here and see who's fishing and where for and what and who and how. I'm getting all kinds of mixed metaphors going today, man. So that's just like shooting a barrel full of monkeys. we'll start at the top of the list. Chuck, man, you fishing this weekend?
No, I got to work.
Bummer.
Gotta,
come on,
gotta
at least lie
people.
To me. Tell me, yeah, man, I'm going fishing, and I'm going to, we're going to catch great white sharks or something.
I'm gonna catch a lot of frozen ballyhoo and frozen goggle eyes and cigar minnows.
Right out of the freezer, right?
Right out of the freezer as other people get to go fishing.
Yep, you cut out a little bit on me, but I got the gist of what you said. Greg Hammerhead, what do you you fishing this weekend or what? I don't imagine so after coming back from 10 days worth of vacation.
You never know. I might get lucky and get to get out. But right now there's no plans.
Ah, okay. Well, I wish you luck and I hope that you do, man, cuz for me a day or a weekend without fishing is like a weekend without sunshine. So we'll see. And let's see, who else is here? Chip, man, Chip Gibson. I know that you got a call coming in, so I'm going to let I'll come back to you. Juan from Kayak Fish PA, man. You fishing this weekend? I imagine so. It's probably a busy time for you right now.
Yeah, it's pretty busy. I've been fishing hard, actually, for the last 2 months. Once the water level started to go down, I'm going to fish tomorrow. I'm guiding tomorrow. It's going to be kind of a special trip where my client wants to focus on finesse fishing in low clear water, and he wants to best his personal best is a 19 inch so far this year, so we're going to try to give him a 20. That's biting off a lot there, so I'm hoping we can do it, but those are few and far between sometimes. And then Thursday I'll be fishing again. What's that?
That's a big smallmouth, 20 inches, man. Wow.
Yeah, in most states, that's a citation fish at 20. Pennsylvania, it's 19, actually. And then Thursday, I'm going to fish again, and then I'll definitely be fishing this weekend. So,
good deal.
Going to be on the river for about 4 days.
Awesome. Well, good luck to you. What's your is there like some sort of a secret lure that works this time of year that you is your go-to thing for smallmouth?
This time of year, it's low. The water's low and clear in the rivers, and that's my specialty is fishing for river smallmouth. And so I tend to go towards unweighted soft plastic baits, dead sticking a 3-inch soft stick bait, fishing soft jerk baits, something I can fish low, fish really slow. I just kind of let it sit there. The fish during the heat of the day typically aren't real active, and so it gives you a chance to catch some decent fish during the middle part of the day. In the morning we're definitely going to be throwing some topwater baits, see if we get a topwater bait going. That's always tons of fun. But once that sun starts coming up, then we're gonna start really trying to fish closer to the rock ledges, fish boulders, shade, those types of things, because the fish tuck into that shade in the summertime and kind of hang out.
Good deal, man. My go-to lure, what's been working for me lately, is the always popular DOA Gold Rush curly tail jig. It's like a 3-inch jig, 4-inch jig, and I fish that on a 1/16 ounce jig head. And so far, that was working for me on over the weekend, even though I didn't catch a whole lot of fish. It was pretty visible and it was pretty sparkly. So definitely check that out. It's not, it gives them something different, you know, to look at. Because I love, as much as I love DOA shrimp, I sometimes I got to change it up, man, because I think the fish get accustomed to it after a while. But anyway, we're at the end of our hour, and I want to say thanks to everybody for coming in. And Greg, make sure you email Mark your address so he can get you that that trip. Or that that swag up to you. And everybody, Chip said that if you email him at chip@kayakfishingradio.com, everybody that tweeted in on that and you didn't win, he'll send you some Kayak Fishing Radio stickers. So go ahead and get in on that. And we'd love to see that on your boat. I actually got a picture over the weekend of a Kayak Fishing Radio sticker on a kayak. And I kept trying to tag, I think I tagged it on the Kayak Fishing Radio Facebook page. But anyway, go ahead and if you got stickers, and if you want stickers, let us know. But put them on your boat and take a picture of it, man. We'd love to see it. And tag us on your on our Facebook page, Kayak Fishing Radio LLC on Facebook. So anyway, we're at the end of our hour. Juan, Chip, Greg, Chuck. Thank you guys for calling in, man. And everybody in the chat room, we got Daryl from Angler to Angler. Check out Daryl's blog, man, at anglertoangler.com. And Daryl, I want to tell you, there's another cat in Orlando that has a yowzer who's changing the oil in their car. Anyway, Daryl, I wanted to tell you, there's another cat in Orlando that does have a blog called Amateur to Angler, and he also goes by A2A. So I just wanted to give you a heads up. I don't know if you know that guy or if I thought it was you doing a different doing like a freshwater thing or something, man. So anyway, check out Daryl's blog at anglertoangler.com. Check out Greg Crisp's blog at yakfish.net. Did I get that right, Greg? I always got to ask you.
Yep, got that one right.
It's very similar to Isaac's. And Chuck at chuckskayakadventures.com. And Juan at Kayakfish PA. So anyway, thank you guys for coming in. Check out my blog if you're really, really bored or you're suffering from insomnia at abadbatcast.com and yakangler.com. Make sure you check out also the Kayak Angler Choice Awards and vote for your favorites. So, until next week, I am a Bad Bat Cast, Rob DeVore, your illustrious host. And make sure you tune in at 10 for an update from iCast. It's an update at 10 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Pacific. So right here
we'll
on
the
Kayak...
chat room open, man.
Yes. Between now and then? Okay. You know, you heard it here first. Yep. So we're going to have live late-breaking updates right from iCast with Isaac the Nothing Miller. So until next week, man, thank you guys for calling in. And wear your PFD and take your kid fishing or somebody else's kid fishing. So until next week, see ya!